You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. Just checking out a text here from CJ. So
okay,
John
we'll
and Gordy,
back.
You guys, you're trying to rewrite history again, huh? Man.
We'll get back to that.
Well, it's tough to do. You know, we tried so hard at the Smithsonian. I guess now you're going to correct all that stuff. So,
okay. It is 7:35. It's cloudy this morning. We'll see some sunshine hopefully along the way, and highs in the mid 70s. Right now it's 65 degrees. Abby Abramovich has joined us from Downdrin's Distilling. Good morning, Abby.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Doing all right.
We're good. We're trying to recover.
We're getting a lot of response to our listener appreciation party, getting a lot of people that want to join in. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we want to remind everybody, it's free and open to the public. Everybody can come out on September 6th. That's a Saturday. Going to start things out about 3 o'clock. And, you know, I have not been out there yet. In fact, I want to come out there maybe this afternoon, walk around and take a look at things. But for people that have not been there, tell us what Downdrin's Distilling is all about.
Yeah, so we are, it's a small family business that my husband and I own. Mm-hmm. Our shtick, we're kind of just nerdy engineer folks trying to make fun spirits. So we really focus on making unique and interesting flavored alcohols where we're really trying to focus on highlighting produce from local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we source ingredients directly from small local farmers, producers, as much as humanly possible. And then we're really trying to make spirits that really highlight those. So some of our best selling products are like a cherry flavored rum where I'm making the rum and then we're using Door County cherry juice from a multi-generational family farm.
Nice.
I make a honey liqueur with honey out of Mount Horeb. I have maple syrup in a maple syrup liqueur that's from Greenwood, Wisconsin.
Oh, yes.
So we really make fun products that are something a little bit different. And then we have a tasting room out in Cottage Grove. So we call it a tasting room, but it's really like you can come, there's a ton of events.
Mm-hmm.
You can not only sample the spirits, but we have custom craft cocktails. We then serve other alcohols and non-alcoholic products as well. But we have an indoor space and a giant outdoor cocktail garden. We host over a dozen events a month, all across the gambit from, you know, this listener appreciation event to, you know, I do drag bingo. I do pro wrestling. So I have a big wrestling event on September 13th coming up with a cage match. So
a cage match?
Oh, yeah.
you do your own wrestling?
Well, no, we bring in promoters and they like build a, but they build a ring out in our cocktail garden.
Wow.
And so it's a good time. We're just across the board all over the place. There's something for everybody.
You were doing it before the White House decided to have their fights.
Yes.
A lot of fun events. And you also, you mentioned a children's playground.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we are family friendly, pet friendly in our large outdoor, like fenced cocktail garden. We do have a kids playground. So the space is really like a community space where people come to just enjoy time with their family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something for kids or pets to do because there's a lot of green space outside as well. So family and pet friendly year round, both inside and outside.
What's your address in Cottage Grove?
300 Progress Drive.
Okay. All right. And
you mentioned non-alcoholic drinks as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
We always have like 5 to 8 mocktails. So like basically a non-alcoholic version of a cocktail.
Yeah.
And then we usually have a couple like NA beers as well, because ultimately not everybody drinks and that's perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody is welcome and we want to make sure there's something there for everybody.
That sounds cool. Fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So listener appreciation party again is Saturday, September 6th, 3 p.m. for all our WMDX listeners, and again, open to the public, and having a lot of fun, it sounds like, with the tasting party.
Yeah.
And the tour of the distillery, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a tour for any of the winners, so we're going to get like kind of a behind-the-scenes tour of the distillery, where we do all the production, kind of talk through, show you the still, show you barrels, bottling, you know, some of our other processing equipment. Where the magic happens, right? And then I'm going to walk everybody through kind of like a small tasting flight of some of our more popular spirits and talk through how they're made and just like individual things about them.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it, and should be good to, you know, someone told me you also have trivia nights, right?
Yeah, we do a weekly general trivia every Thursday year-round. Okay. And then we do like a themed trivia once a month. It's on the last Wednesday of every month, unless there's like a holiday on that day or something, you know. But so like this month, our theme is it's a music trivia.
Oh.
And so our theme is like emo slash punk pop music trivia. Okay. And so we'll like play songs, and then you have to answer questions about the songs or identify the songs.
Wow.
But well, that kind of changes. Punk.
You're into that.
I am. Yeah, I am.
And then like next month, for example, the theme trivia is classic video games.
Oh, wow.
It's all over the place. But then so that's the last Wednesday of every month. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, Thursdays, every night on Thursdays, general knowledge trivia.
Excellent. Well, great. Well, Abby, thanks for coming in, and we're looking forward to this party. It's
going to be
getting a lot of good reaction to it, so we're hoping for a good crowd there. And again, that's Saturday, September 6th, 3 p.m. at Downdrins Distilling in Cottage Grove. Website?
Yeah, it's just downdrins.com. That's D-O-U-N-D-R-I-N-S.
Very good. Abby, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much,
Appreciate
guys.
Appreciate it. We'll see you on September 6th.
Absolutely.
Great, and a food truck as well. And
yeah,
we're
going
to have a good time out there. Do you have like monkey bars or anything like that?
We've got a little bit of food of some other things, giant pretzels and such.
Oh, excellent.
But he's worried about the playground. He wants to play in the playground.
You know, when they
it is adult friendly. You can go on the tube slide.
All right. So. Oh, perfect. I'll try that.
Okay. Thank you, Abby from Downdrins Distilling. Okay.
You just see me doing
Abby
that.
Abby Abramovich. Did I get that close?
Yep. Yeah, you got it perfect that time.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Abby. Okay.
Well,
let's continue on.
All right.
Here.
We have
appreciate it.
We have this big announcement. You know, MSNBC is splitting off from NBC News.
Right. Yeah,
and they have a new name. It's MS Now. MS Now. They're getting rid of the NBC
part. What does that
Now
stand for? Thanks, Abby. Okay.
And
MS Now.
MS Now. A lot of people are playing with this thing now. A lot of people on the right.
Oh, really? Like,
oh, CJ is probably involved in this, too. You know, he's always involved in these things. He always has that last word.
You think it's a conspiracy or something?
he says the world's peacemaker. We'll strike again.
Yeah, Nobel Peace Prize goes to 47. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. In your dreams. Okay.
But anyway, this MS Now.
Yeah.
Some on the right are putting a period after MS, so it's Miss Now.
Oh, okay.
Right? Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah, very clever. Anyway, that's going to be happening later this year. It will become that, and it'll be a standalone news source, and they're hiring people, by the way.
Oh, really?
They call it My Source for News, Opinion, and the World, and that's where the N-O-W stands for.
What is it again? MS Now.
Well, MS stands for My Source, and then it's News, N-O-W, News, Opinion, and the World.
Okay.
All right. All right. I don't know why they had to do that.
Don't
Who
know
cares?
Either.
Just call it MS Now.
Yeah, we don't. It doesn't have to stand for anything, really.
Jeez, they would go through all these,
but they're
contortions
kind of, but
to
they
try
are,
to come up with something.
They're separating themselves from NBC News.
Yes,
basically.
Yes,
they're
later
just,
on. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the deal.
It says here they've been on a hiring spree of late, out of
they
necessity,
haven't called us.
Scooping
I don't know
up dozens of journalists, not asking for John and Gordy to be a participant in the newsroom at any point.
I think we're not invited.
They're going
not
to
yet.
Other news sources so far, you know, trying to, you know, steal people away. MSNBC Prez Rebecca Cutler says, while our name is changing,
yeah,
who we are and what we've done has not changed. All right? So just to, you know, make everybody feel a little at home there.
Well, there's rumors that Stephen Colbert could wind up there, too.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, wouldn't that be great?
It would be good. Yeah. Take your
now,
show
I wonder,
over there.
You know, Stephen gave up, you know, when he was with The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Or, and beyond that, you know, the Colbert Report, he gave up being very political. And now...
yeah.
Now he's got to go back to it again.
Well,
I would like to see the Stephen Colbert Report guy again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked his character.
That was a good character.
It was edgy and sharp.
Yeah.
And I thought it was more interesting than him as a talk show host.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, how about we have a little time here? How about this? The Nebraska Farm Bureau. Tariffs are affecting Nebraska exponentially more than other states. That's right. The corn farmers were enjoying a $1.6 billion trade surplus with Mexico. Nebraska, which Trump won by 20 points, now has the worst gross domestic product decline in the U.S.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, can't match that. Well, yeah, you can match that. I guess Ohio is also doing just as badly. Oh. 6.1 GDP drop, coupled with the fact that 39 other states also saw contractions, indicates a broader economic slowdown affecting the nation. All right, so that
wow.
is due to That's, the tariffs.
Yeah, great job on the tariffs.
Now, let's ask Grok. Well, what do you think?
Grok?
yeah. What does Grok think? Hey, by the way, Grok answers all.
Oh, really?
So just keep that in mind. Well, I don't know why, but this is like a meme on X now, and X has to put this out there because, you know, this is Elon's deal. Mm. But he's not happy with some of the answers. How bad was Biden's economy? That's one of the questions asked. I thought I'd bring this in
Grok?
For
Grok?
CJ, just in case he's still listening, hasn't, you know, stormed off angry. Grok was asked that, yeah. How is Biden's economy? Let's listen to what Grok says here. Now I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Biden's economy between 2021 and 2025 achieved 11% GDP growth. That's pretty good. Unemployment below 4% for record periods, and inflation tamed from 9% down to 2.4% with strong job creation. Hardly a disaster. Of course, you know, Trump beat this drum to death for 4 years, so people believe that the economy was a disaster when it wasn't. Trump's 2025 first or second quarter GDP was at 3%, not 11% like under Biden. But overall, growth was only 1.2% and unemployment at 4.2%. Stalled jobs, tariffs reducing GDP by 0.9%, almost 1%, while adding only 1,000. What?
Yeah. No,
are
that's
you,
okay.
guys, you guys are, you know, telling me to get out of this. Well, you know, maybe, you know, it's a lot of numbers, but no
it
one gives
a
damn. And I'm going to tell you right now that Biden had a roaring economy that the world admired. Remember,
that's the bottom line.
We were the winners in this.
That's
and
right.
now we have a completely different economy based on tariffs.
Yes.
Sweet. Let's change the formula once we have the winning formula in place.
There we go. Okay. 7:48. When we come back, we've got leftovers.
Just throw a net over me next time, you guys.
Well, so many numbers. Our heads are exploding here. Yeah. You know, that's it.
I'm getting a headache.
Yeah.
You have a headache.
Back with more of John and Gordy in a moment on WMDX Madison.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Wisconsin landscape is lit up by a million shining stars. I am traveling up the Edens to the land of the under 21 bars. Going to Cheeseland, Cheeseland, the Dells in Door County. I'm going to Cheeseland.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, 92.7. Check us out on the Civic Media app. Text us and voice note us as well and just call up the show and throw your two cents in. Why don't we go to Kurt right now and hear what Kurt has to say. Yeah.
Kurt's on the phone. Good morning, Kurt.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'll be quick. When Arby has him on as a guest, I cringe. Mm-hmm. And if you actually pay attention to Carville when he's talking, mm-hmm. you think you're instantly in a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. It's sometimes it's
hard.
Yeah, I know. It. I don't want to hear his point of view.
Thanks, guys.
All right, I appreciate it. And your text as well.
Yeah.
By the way, Kurt mentioned that there's 100,000 photographs at the museum, not to mention databases. What? Trump is forcing Google to delete their databases?
Talk about the Smithsonian.
This is an ongoing temper tantrum of the orange blob, and I appreciate that, Kurt. It's so true.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Let's check weather now with our WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going over there?
Oh, good. You know, the WMDX weather window can only do so much.
Yeah,
we need the details. We need to dig deep into this. Tell us what's going on in the weather.
Yeah.
The window's pretty accurate.
Yes,
but
I know.
It's hard to see the future through it. So we're going to see what we can see. But I see sunshine, a lot of it coming through later today.
Oh,
and
cool.
Just another comfortable day, 78 degrees, probably hitting for highs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
More patchy fog again tonight. It's fog season. Tis the season, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, still staying sunny, nice and summery, highs in those low 80s, high pressure system still in place. And then we've got a cold front that is going to be marching through the state. So a lot of us are going to be cloudy tomorrow. Eventually, you'll get there. And then by Saturday morning, maybe a few sprinkles in the forecast, but really nothing too crazy at the moment. But it does drop our temperatures. It will get breezy. It's going to feel like that, you know, those fall, cold, crisp breeze.
Oh,
that's what's going to be happening.
Great.
Both Saturday, Sunday, even into Monday, dropping temperatures to the mid-70s on Saturday. And then my favorite part is 60s on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Coolest day.
Yes. Yeah.
The coolest day is going to be on Monday. Mid-60s we're looking at for highs.
Nice.
That is so
refreshing.
So nice. You know, we have gone through the hottest summer.
It seems like it.
It feels like it.
Well, really humid, too, and just
and
a lot
humid,
of rain.
Uncomfortable. All this, and now we're getting the cool weather back again. Boy, we welcome it.
Yes.
Welcome it.
It's still cloudy here in downtown Madison right now, and still, I guess, some patchy fog here and there. But it'll brighten up.
Overcast at the moment.
Yeah.
Still dense fog in places, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we talked about the WMDX weather window, but, you know, it's never wrong, as you mentioned, and it doesn't require batteries. There's no downtime.
True.
It's new and improved, by the way.
Of course it is.
Warping has been taken care of.
I was going to say, how's the maintenance? How often do you have to replace it?
You don't have to. Yeah. There's no fading. it works right out of the box. You know, it features the exclusive John and Gordy touch and feel hot or cold temperature surface.
Yeah.
Which changes with the weather.
Came with it last time I heard about it, so this is pretty cool.
We're trying to market it a little bit.
Yeah. And we came out with a deluxe version with the extra rugged tempered glass. for those on the go.
Okay. Yeah. Available soon at our website.
That's right. At the store.
Where are you coming up with this stuff?
Yeah.
Get on the waiting list now.
We're workshopping it still.
Yeah.
We've got a few bugs here.
Does it let bugs in?
We got to work on that.
But. All right. Well, thanks for putting up with the weather window ad that I just mentioned.
Brittany, thank you so much.
It's my only ad lib here on the show.
Okay. That's Brittany Merlot, our WMDX chief meteorologist.
All right.
We have Jim Santel coming up shortly.
We do.
Up to speed on what's happening legally. In the various courts throughout the land.
Let's hear about some dumb people here, okay? I've got cut 163. I really want to get into this. This is from the Mini Philosophy. It puts out stuff all the time. This, I thought, was interesting. 163. Let's listen.
Okay.
About 25 years ago, the psychologists David Dunning and Justin Kruger ran a series of experiments to reveal something strange. People who know the least often have the most confidence in their abilities. This has come to be known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. In short, if you're incompetent, you lack the skills you need to recognize your own competence. And so you overestimate your abilities. You think you're great when you're not. But what's less commonly known is the opposite, known as the reverse Dunning-Kruger effect. This is when you become truly competent. It's when you research, you study, and you put in the hard hours, and you become acutely aware of how little you know. Socrates was said to be the wisest man in Greece because he recognized just how little he knew. If you speak to any expert or professor in their field, you'll notice how nuanced and uncertain their language is, whereas those who know very little are often very confident in what they say. You see this every day in online debates, where the loudest voices are often the least informed, and people with real knowledge hedge their statements, they qualify their terms, and admit uncertainty. Bertrand Russell once said that the trouble with the world is that the stupid are so cocksure and the intelligent are so full of doubt. The danger is that modern society risks rewarding confidence rather than competence. We mistake the loudest voices for the best voices. But of course, confidence is not competence. And if somebody is walking confidently and loudly towards a cliff's edge, it's better to follow somebody who knows where they're going.
There you go.
Great stuff, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Who was that again?
That's Mini Philosophy. Posts
okay.
stuff every once in a while, and I thought that kind of hit the mark for Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 29 minutes past the hour. We're going to check in with the Midwest Food and Farm Report. And when we come back, attorney Jim Santel will join us, taking your calls and questions, too, if you want to get in on it. 608-879-8255 or just text us on the Civic Media app. Coming back with more of John and Gordy after this.
It's not too late.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy filling in the morning show. We're on vacation right now, but these two guys who sound very much like John and Gordy are filling in and doing a damn good job, I think.
What are you talking about?
You scared me so much there.
No, I'm just...
It's us. It
is really us.
Okay. 735, partly cloudy yeah. right now. We should be in for some sunshine. Highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 69 degrees, and Mike McCabe is back from being off for a couple of weeks.
Been a while.
Good to see you again, Mike.
It was only a week.
Yeah. Okay.
Just last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, it's
I'm time, back.
Time did you go
flies
fishing?
With
What'd
Trump
you do?
In charge.
Yeah. Did you go anywhere? Do anything?
Yeah, I was actually up in the Eagle River area.
Oh, really?
Oh, kind of a family gathering. Rent some cottages up there on a lake.
Oh, and, that's great. Yeah.
And spend some time out in the backwoods and
nice.
Yeah.
Well, good deal.
It was
well,
nice.
Welcome back.
It's a nice place up there.
Yeah. You know? I'm actually still up there and this is not me.
But thanks for filling in. You're doing a great job
right.
and
yeah,
you sound
right.
just like
right.
Mike McCabe.
Right.
Okay.
So it looks like I've started something new. I wondered it, you know, we were talking off the air about the Smithsonian and, you know, how negative our U.S. history was. And you talked about the Black Museum that they have there.
Yeah, the African-American History Museum in D.C. is fascinating.
Yeah.
If you haven't been there, it's worth a visit before they start closing mm-hmm. some of the floors. The design of the museum is interesting because it's built floor by floor.
Yeah.
And the bottom floor is extremely dark. No windows, and it's about slavery, and it's sort of designed like a slave ship.
Mm-hmm.
Each floor above it gets brighter, and you reach the civil rights era, and then there are windows, and light is pouring in, and so visually, it sort of gives you this sense of this journey from slavery to Jim Crow to the civil rights era to more modern times and powerful exhibits
yeah.
Based on your discussion, you know, I do kind of wonder if they're going to close the bottom floor because it deals with that history of slavery.
Well, the big thing here the screen was how bad slavery was. It's something that really makes Trump very angry.
The Smithsonian.
So the African American Museum is on that target list, by the way.
Is that right?
It is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. No surprise there. So,
no.
Yeah, before it closes, it is definitely worth a visit for anybody who gets out in that direction.
Yeah. Check it out while you can, I guess.
Looking at your latest Substack article here, it's called Rising Above. And you talk about, I just want to read the first sentence. We live in a dishonest age, and all the lying is giving fiction a bad name.
Pretty good.
So, expand on that.
Well, you know what we all say.
Yeah.
We all say this: fact or fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is that fiction is based on fact. When you write fiction, yes, you use imagination, and yes, you blend facts in creative ways, but you do it to get to deeper truth. Create a broader understanding of what's going on in the world.
Well,
that's the purpose of fiction.
You mentioned this about writing your book.
Absolutely.
This is exactly what you did in your book.
Absolutely. I chose fiction to tell that story. It's basically the story of my late brother, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt that, you know, given what we're going through right now, given the challenges and the circumstances of life today, Dan passed away over 20 years ago. And you know, I wanted to write a story that related to the threats and the crises of the current moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's basically his story, but I didn't write a character named Dan, and I didn't write the story as Dan's exact life story. But yeah, he was the inspiration for the story, and I wouldn't have that story to tell if he hadn't been my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I chose fiction because of its ability to, you know, to allow the imagination to take us to a place that you know, the everyday news accounts will never take us, and to get us to deeper understanding, and to get us to wrestle with challenges that, you know, that otherwise we're inclined to just look the other way and overlook.
Was it Einstein that you quoted?
At the end of the article, yes.
Imagination is everything. It's a preview of life's coming attractions.
Yeah.
I love that line.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if there's ever been a more logical mind than Einstein's, I don't know right. what that mind would be or whose mind that would be, but you know, he said that, you know, logic will only take you so far. It'll take you from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But imagination can take us everywhere.
Yeah.
And it can even take us to the point where we can see what's being done to us to fully comprehend this current moment that we're going through. And so, yeah, I mean, imagination is our way out of this trap. We have to be able to imagine the future that we want rather than the reality that we're currently stuck in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're in a way, we're trying to protect the reality that we had at one time.
Right. You know, that's the thing that concerns me the most, is that when you think about what's going on in America right now, there are forces that are trying to protect what we had, and there are forces trying to take us back before we had those things.
Yes.
Yeah. That want to destroy those things and take us back to the time before those things even existed. But what we don't have in this country right now is the imagination to think about what will be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or what could be. And that's what's missing in this, in our politics. It's what's missing in our society in general. And that's exactly where fiction can take us. But you know, people equate fiction with false. They think that it's a synonym for false, and they see it. You know, we've all been taught to think that fiction is just fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really is the imagination about what we could be, where we could go.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we need that.
One of the points you made was it's making us numb to dishonesty. And
well, that's what all the lying is all about.
Right, exactly. And what I'm looking at here is using my imagination. projecting off into the future by 3.5 years. Will we have anything left? Is there anything left, really? You know, I think, you know, if we use our imaginations now, it's a dystopian future is what we're looking at, what we maybe are going to be involved
but
in.
But, you know, John, this kind of takes us back to many past conversations we've had about that great book, The Fourth Turning, that I've talked about before, right? Or the other book that I've mentioned, The Upswing. And, you know, and there, periodically we go through these phases where things are built. And then we go through phases where people get disillusioned with that architecture and they start to tear that down.
You're right.
And I think we're going through that time where things are being torn down. But at the end, when everything's been burned to the ground, out of those ashes can spring new growth. Mm-hmm. It happens in every forest when there's a forest fire. What happens right afterwards? There's this all these new things start bursting from the soil, and you see that landscape greened over in a hurry. It doesn't stay charred forever.
I don't know, you know.
But we've got to imagine what we want to see grow.
We saw a forest fire up there in Canada, and all that resulted from it was a letter from the Republicans saying, stop sending your smoke down here.
isn't that a great metaphor for what our society is stuck in right now?
Yeah.
It's like all they can see is they can't understand that fire is a part of nature, and it happens. Mm-hmm. And you know, and unfortunately, the air currents will sometimes blow that smoke in our direction. But it's not Canada's fault, you know. Nor can they stop it. What we have to think about is globally is what we can do to you know, to prevent more wildfires in the future. And we gotta at some point come to terms with the fact that the climate is changing in this world, and that is producing more severe storms. It's producing more wildfires, and we got to get to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. And Canada can't do that alone. And a letter from a few members of Congress can't wave a magic wand over the problem. It's not going to solve anything. We got to think bigger than that.
Well, they're denying that there is climate change.
Absolutely. They don't want, they just want to blame somebody. Oh, it's Canada's fault for not managing their forests properly.
Same thing with California or Wyoming, Montana, wherever there's a forest fire. They didn't maintain their forests up there. They didn't rake them.
Right.
And, try to do that in Canada. It's, quite a forested area up there. But anyway, you know, I always think of this as, you know, a time where we're trying to make sense out of something that doesn't make any sense at all. And that is, you know, we're hearing a lot of lies, constant lying. They have taken over the U.S. government's information on the internet and turned that into lying. They've done everything possible to make lying just normal. It's what we expect now. Now we have physicians associations coming out with their own statistics and recommendations because the government now can't be trusted to provide that information.
And this is not the first time in human history that we've gone through such a phase where they're not telling these lies for the sake of just telling lies. They're telling these lies to desensitize us to dishonesty and to then make us more prone to their propaganda. That's why they tell the lies, is to get us to the point where they can control us. And that's happened before many times over the course of human history. And what were the most powerful ways that was fought in the past? Think about George Orwell.
Oh, yes.
With 1984. And with Animal Farm. What was he doing but
using fiction
tell a story that cut to the core of what was being done to humanity,
right?
And took people to a higher place, a better place. And we need to invoke imagination today to fight this. So I'm just struck by how the dishonesty of our age is giving fiction a bad name. And where would people have been without Orwell to expose what was being done to them?
Talking with Mike McCabe here, Substack author and blogger. And so where are the George Orwells of today? Where are the leaders of today that, you know, we can, I mean, it seems like it's so we need somebody to break through all these lies and show us a path to the future. But is that the way it's going to happen?
Yeah, I think some of the Orwells are on Comedy Central.
You know? Well, yes.
And then some of the Orwells are on Substack. You find them in different places, and some of them are humorists, and some of them are satirists, and some of them are, you know, powerful fiction writers.
Mm-hmm. It's 7:48. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
We have a question about putting up guardrails on the internet.
Yes. All right.
Okay. We'll be back with more with Mike McCabe on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
For example, I go around wanting you, and yet I can't imagine that you want me, that you want me too. Give me the imagination. Give me the
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Boy, it sure is. WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. And we have a text here from Mark. He says, ban the movie A Miracle on 34th Street. The guy playing Santa Claus encouraged a young girl, and of course, the rest of us, to use our imaginations and believe.
That's right.
A very good point, Mark. Thank you.
We're back with our resident optimist, Mike McCabe, looking into the future. And we have a few more minutes here. So let's see. We were going to talk about AI and setting up some guardrails. And the story that we had earlier this morning was age restrictions.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that on my drive into the studio.
Yeah, verifying the age. Google is trying to put this in place. I don't know when that's going to happen. I believe the United Kingdom might be putting this in place, or the EU, which is even bigger and more important. I find this to be unsettling and dangerous, especially in the information age, and how AI is being used now to comb all this information and make it very easy to access for those people who want to have access to it. It'll become a business, and those businesses will advise corporations and businesses on employees who are applying at their businesses and tell them everything that they've ever done on the internet. And, you know, these people might have just done a search because a friend of theirs had said something about it and they wanted to find out a little bit more, or their kid or something like that. It's so unfair. It's so wrong. This is the wrong way to set up a guardrail on the internet. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that kids are really creative creatures.
Yes.
And I'm figuring that even if they try to do this, kids are going to figure out a way around it.
Yeah.
Because they're very creative creatures, and they'll figure out a way to game it. You know, the other thing that I think is that it's just what I find unwise is this human impulse to try to mechanize the solving of human problems and some kind of machine, some kind of technology solve the problem for us, when in fact these are human problems and we need to deal with that on a human level. And so it's destined to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But the price we may pay for a solution that will, I think, surely fail is going to be a high price. It's going to be a high price in terms of our own privacy. It's going to be a high price in terms of the extent to which our behavior is surveilled, not perhaps by the government, but by big tech. I just think it's folly to think that we can have a machine do our thinking for us.
Yeah.
I mentioned Substack before, where some great authors can be found.
Right.
Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, has a wonderful article out on Substack. If you haven't seen it, I really encourage y'all to check it out. He talks about the three kinds of jobs that exist. And he said there are thinking jobs, there are making jobs, and there are caring jobs. Fits them all into those three categories. Mm-hmm. And he said the making jobs, you know, what you think about manufacturing,
yeah,
making jobs, and the thinking jobs, which could be anything from journalism to, anything that involves creative thought, AI will eventually take over those jobs, and then all we'll be left with are caring jobs, whether it's a nurse or a mental health counselor, that those will be the jobs that'll be left because the making jobs and the thinking jobs will be taken over by AI. And I think, that is not a good recipe for humanity, because human beings by their nature want to make things, and they also are blessed with the ability to think.
Yeah.
And why we would want to take a machine and say, you do our thinking for us, you do our making for us, is beyond me. I think it's a path that takes us nowhere good. And so to me, the subject you talk about guardrails for the internet, I would extend that to guardrails for AI as well. It's part of a much bigger conversation we have. Why do we want machines to do our thinking for us? Mm-hmm. And why do we want machines to do our making for us?
And why do we want machines to keep track of what we're doing?
Yeah.
And, one of the things that happened to me a long time back, was my kid, they were playing music and they were downloading music off the internet. And we got a warning from the internet provider that we are illegally downloading music and that our subscription, our connection will be disconnected if it happens again. Now, it's something we were unaware of as parents, and we didn't know anything about it. We had no idea what songs that they downloaded. They had no idea what they were doing or the songs that they downloaded. So there was no way for us to fix whatever we had to fix or should look out for. And what they did on the internet is on our record. So because we use the same, IP. So the thing here is that this is really a huge, huge problem if they decide to verify ages on the internet. I can't see any reason why this would be a good idea. And I'm shocked, I'm surprised that politicians would jump on board and the EU or, United Kingdom would think that this is a good idea. I don't know how anybody has come to this conclusion that we should do something this crazy.
Yeah, you've described the downsides really well. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you look for an upside, I'm thinking it won't work. If you think it's going to solve something, it won't work. It'll ultimately fail, but we will still pay those prices that you described.
Yeah. We got to leave it there. Mike McCabe, thanks for joining us.
Well,
check out his Substack.
Thanks for helping me out dealing with this.
Yes. We always appreciate your counseling sessions with John. Thanks, Mike. We'll see you next Wednesday. That's it for us. Stephanie Miller is next. And tomorrow on the show, Tim Slecker will talk education, and we'll find out the latest at the Supreme Court with Jim Santel.
All right.
We hope you have a great day. So long.
Take
John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.